Yes, thank you for inviting me to be here. My name is Oscar Rodriguez Cruz. I am a grant writer, consultant. Up until recently, I was working for a nonprofit as a revenue specialist, meaning I was responsible for them to get their money. And I fundraise across the philanthropic spectrum, meaning from foundations, community foundations. I've worked for state grants, as well as, thank you. I'm just going to share my screen because I do have a very short presentation to share. I just have to let my go. Yes. So as I was saying, so I fundraise across the philanthropic spectrum, but also the non-philanthropic spectrum. So my last place we did look for a lot of impact investing, which meant either foundations or banks that offered loans that not only had a financial return on it, but also a social return. So impact investing has really grown, particularly within the last 15 years or so. A lot of people call it ESG investing, but just as a little tidbit to why I'm here today. And hi, Jasmine. Jasmine was the one who invited me to come, and I'm very excited to be here, like I said. And yeah, let's just jump right in. All right. So typically, whenever I meet with a client, I run into people in these two scenarios. The first one being that they want to apply for a grant, but they don't know where to start. And the second one is that they've maybe found a grant to apply for, maybe they have found a request for a proposal on a split application, but they don't feel confident in their writing and slash or management skills to get it done. Now, very quickly, if everyone does have access to, yep, thank you, Sammy. You already was doing it for me. If you could just put in the chat which category you would fall under, I just give about 30 seconds to do so, just so I can get a good understanding of who's in the room right now or where folks are coming from.
Awesome, I see some A's. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, Jasmine.
What's up, Jasmine?
Hey, Jasmine.
Everybody.
Great to see you. So yeah, most people fall in A, which is honestly probably, ooh, I definitely skipped a whole bunch, which is the most common. And that's completely okay. Most times when people, are realizing they need grants is usually when they're either before starting a project or they're at a point where they've depleted their own funds in a project or a business, and there's just the grant is critical to an organization's success. So it's actually a good thing because I did prepare a little slide deck for situation A. Really, just to get a 1,000 foot view of how it looks like to one, start identifying what kinds of grants you want to look for and how you can match your organization's mission with that of the funder. So the first thing I always tell people is, you want to look for a grant? Good. You have to understand yourself first. You want to start identifying what is your organization's focus area. So here I just did a quick example. So for example, like, are you a community organization working to better the lives of your neighborhood? For example, do you offer clothes, food, mutual aid? Maybe you do a youth program. And just really start to break it down, try to get super specific. Are you a organization that, maybe hosts once a month dinners where you feed the folks in your neighborhood? That has a specific focus area, meaning that there's a whole list of community foundations and funders out there that fund those specific initiatives. So, if you are a community organization, let's say doing mutual aid or working with your community, one way of starting to search for it is community foundations. Now, foundations, if for folks who don't know, they're private 501c3 charities in which instead of them looking for money, they're the ones that give it out. Usually foundations are made from essentially wealthy people's wealth. A lot of times rich people will put their fund or a percentage of their funds in a foundation so that it can then re-grant that money to community members. And in doing so, the rich people get, you know, a lot of tax write-offs and deductions. I can go into a lot of that later and how maybe that's very, well, it is very unfair, especially for the current system of things, but that's for another time. So like I was saying, community foundations, local and regional intermediaries. What that means, intermediaries are organizations that are, they essentially receive money, like millions of dollars from foundations, because the foundations themselves don't have the kind of network or the kind of relationships with community organizations to re-grant the money themselves. So they pretty much say, hey, we have $2 million that we want to give out to community members, let's say in Baltimore City, who are working specifically with youth. Can you re-grant this money? And that organization says, yes, we can. And then they themselves find the organizations to then give the money out to. There are a few in the Baltimore area. You know, if you'd want a sort of list, I'd be happy to make one up. And private foundations are more of those larger foundations, like the Gates Foundations, the Ford Foundation, Kellogg Foundation, and all those ones. And on the side, I really just wanted to provide a few lists that can maybe help folks get started, because you know there are a whole lot of foundations in the United States, and it can just seem very daunting. It can seem very scary. It can seem like, oh my gosh, there's absolutely no way you can make it through it. But I'm here to tell you that you absolutely can, which is why it's important that you figure out what your focus area is, so your search can be very specified, as well as offering the list of foundations. I wanted to actually provide a link for requests for proposals. So requests for proposals are essentially these call for applications that foundations or funding entities put out, where they're like, hey, we are making 10 grants worth, let's say, 10K each to these specific organizations. This is how you can apply. Typically, this is how most organizations find granting opportunities, and then they can start to do that. But I really just provide these links for you to just check it out, see what it looks like, see what resonates, and also write down any questions you have. As well, I did provide the Small Business Administration Funding Programs link, which offers grants to small businesses, but also information about different loan programs, if you're interested in that. Just taking a pause, because that was a little bit of information. Just taking a second to see if there's any questions from this, or if anyone needs any clarification.
Right. Well, is this being recorded? Can we get the video when it's done?
I believe so.
So yes, this is being recorded, and likely Omar will put it in some sort of library so you can access it if you need additional information or you want to review something that was shared here. So take the time to just, you know, pay attention, take your notes, and we'll see that you can have some sort of access to the recording later.
For sure. And I'm also going to share the slide deck with Jasmine. So, you know, don't feel like you have to write down every single thing that's on the slides as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
Of course. All right. Moving right along. Well, let's say, you know, you've done your search. You know, you've found a grant you want to apply for, but now you're like, wait, how do I write it? This is the part where my job comes in. Folks will find an application. They're like, I don't know how to write it. And they'll come to me and I'll say, okay, this is how we write it together. Because one thing about my services is I really want to teach people. So I work as a grant writer so that one day, hopefully my job doesn't exist. Because hopefully one day we live in a society where folks just give folks money and we don't have to kind of vie and have such a competitive process for it. Really what I like to do is I teach folks how to write, typically how applications look like, so that over time they won't even need me anymore. But the one thing I would say to learn how to write a grant is actually to look through a few of the applications. So here I actually provided the Maryland Philanthropy Network template for a grant application. Oops, sorry. So you can click there once I share the link afterwards and see, and you'll be walked through about a 4 or 5 page template of the common questions that are asked. Usually it starts with, what's your organization? What's your mission? Where are you located? What's the amount of money? But most times what folks are asking, or what funders are asking, is what is the problem and how are you solving it? Everything else is structured around those two formats. So again, I do encourage folks to do check out the templates, and if you do see application, look through it, run through it, see how which questions you think, oh, these are very easily, these are ones that I can easily answer. I'm confused about this. This doesn't make any sense. Because once you have those questions, then you can reach out to folks like myself, and I'd be more than happy to walk through it or clarify certain things. So after you have found an application, you see, you review what they typically involved, then is when you make a plan. This is the most crucial step, as in with running a business or doing a project, you must make a plan from start to finish. And this is the part that I think trips folks up, because you think you can, kind of look at the application and think, oh, okay, I have 4 weeks, I can apply to it. But I promise you that deadline is going to come flying at you. And what I don't want to do, and what typically happens, is folks will wait till the last week and then put in 12-hour days trying to apply and get everything together. Let's not do that. So on the side here, I did want to provide some resources as well. The first one that I actually want to point to is using ChatGPT. So there's been a huge boom in using AI nowadays. Quite frankly, it's been kind of scary to me how fast it's boomed. But there are some aspects that have been good. So, for example, ChatGPT is a writing assistant in which you can put a prompt or a question, and the assistant is going to feed you back information. Now, this AI is not foolproof. It is not a human mind. It is not a human behind it, which is why I provided a link of prompts that you can put into the chat to really just play around with it, see what it can give you, see how it can help you out. I'm not saying it's going to write the entire grant application, but you can have it act as an editor, as a doc connector. You can put in a paragraph and say, hey, does this is this good grammar? Is this good English? Does this align with the writing that they want? And it will feed back to you some really useful information. Secondly, I want to offer a free grants management software. I'm sorry, I'm not being paid by anyone. I'm here of my own accord. But this Grant Seeker, I wish I had found out about it 2 years ago, because it does everything that you need it to do. You can do research in it. You can store your grant applications in it. You can set a calendar. You can invite folks. You can have your own team manage their own tasks. It is your one-stop shop for grant management, and it's completely free. All the resources that I'm providing here are absolutely free. But this is one that I really urge folks just to look around. And when I say play with it, I more say like see what the ins and outs are, see what works for you, and just leave the rest. Also, just I want to offer this blog link because I thought it was really great at answering the question of how you can match your grant application to a funder's interests instead of just an opportunity. So what I mean by that? What I mean is that a lot of times when we find a grant, most people will apply just for that grant. Oh, this is a grant focusing on youth development. I'm going to make it entirely about youth development. That's great and all. But what you want to do is actually curate the grant application so that it fits with the funder's interests. So, for example, if the funder's interests, or one of their interests, is youth development, that's great. Maybe one of their larger interests is seeing that one day youth poverty ceases to exist. Now, this article really runs you through how you can essentially tailor your application so that you can apply. And maybe if you don't get that specific funding, you can still use the application as an in with the funder. So, there's ways of doing it where you can apply, and if you get a rejection, you can say, well, hey, I'm still interested in finding opportunity for us to work together, and You'll be surprised with how funders can shuffle things around once you provide, again, a solution to the problem that they are aiming to solve. Taking a 1 second, not 1 second, a 20-second break just to kind of let that settle and also see if there's any questions from this slide. Is this making sense so far to folks? Can I just see a thumbs up, thumbs down? Are folks still with me?
We're still here.
Yes,
Okay.
we're here. We're here.
I just want to make
I'm
sure.
sorry. I was trying to give you a thumbs up. We're here. Yeah, it definitely makes sense.
Thank you, thank you. I just want to make sure too, because my internet's been a bit faulty, so I was hoping that I was still talking to folks. All right, great. So moving right along, you may ask, what else is needed? What else do I need to apply? And I'll tell you this, besides the writing portion, there is a whole list of things that most of these applications want. And again, this may seem daunting at first, but if you plan it out and you know what you have to organize and are looking for, this is absolutely doable. Now, yes, like, okay. So usually when after the writing portion or in between the writing portion, they're going to ask for an organizational budget. No, and also I want to clarify, this is more geared toward nonprofits applying for grants, but a lot of this does apply to for-profits. When either applying to grants. In terms of loans, there's a bit more things that you do need, and I'm not covering that here. But if you do want some information about that, you can get in touch with me afterwards. But again, they want a budget for the organization. They usually want a budget for the requested funds. Usually, applications do have their own templates, but there are ones as well online. IRS determination letters, cash flows. This is essentially just so they can see that one, you can manage your money well, and that you actually are the kind of organization you are for applying. So that you are a 501c3, that you are an LLC, or that you are a fiscal sponsor. So you can move right along with this. And so resources. If you haven't noticed, I can't really do a super detailed presentation on grant writing because we could be here for 3, 4 hours, which I could, but again, I know my time is limited and I want to actually save some time for folks who have questions. But here, I really just wanted to offer resources and pretty much say that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are a lot of resources out there, especially if you haven't written a grant before or if you feel like your writing isn't the strongest. It's okay. There are people who apply for grants every single day who are in the same position that you are. And there are people before you who have done this and they've left behind a wealth of knowledge. And I just wanted to provide just a brief one. So this first link of fundraising templates, this is actually my own personal link. This provides templates all the way from messaging folks on LinkedIn to connect because maybe they are related to a funding opportunity that you're interested to. Template letters of intent, sample grant management templates. And there's also more detailed ones that I've included in there, but those are more specialized for, let's say, after we have like a one-on-one meeting. Again, there's a lot out there, and that could be a very good thing because you're not alone, but also it can be very daunting because you think, this is too much. It's all right. If you ever need someone to walk through it or clarify again, I'm here as a resource, and there's a ton of people out there that are also available. And I also wanted to share this link for nonprofitready.org. And this is a very great free resource that actually gives you certifications for proposal writing, financial management, how to manage a grant after you get it, because there's a whole life cycle of that as well. And it's just been a very great resource. I've benefited from it several times throughout my career as a fundraiser. And I really just encourage everyone, and no matter what stage they are, even if they're not a nonprofit, to take classes through there. They have really great modules. And I also want to share a link to what's called community-centric fundraising. Now, this is a movement of fundraisers and folks in nonprofits who really want to turn fundraising on its head So typically, as you may know, philanthropy and fundraising, it's a very extractive practice, particularly to Black leaders and founders and leaders of color, because again, they ask us for so much when in reality, we may not even have the infrastructures to provide it. Whereas an org who is white-led may have more resources, more mentors, and more folks under their belts who actually can provide this kind of guidance. So this is really a hub of folks who really want to provide that guidance to people. And I added a Slack link because that is actually a gold mine of fundraisers who are ready and willing to give you free advice. When I tell you there's at least, I think last time I was in there, it had 4,000, 4 to 5,000 members. And the different channels range from grant opportunities to fundraisers you can hire to questions about fundraising, questions about specific funders that folks have maybe gotten funded before. It's just a really, really great resource that I always urge folks to join because you can also meet a lot of folks on there who work at these foundations that you may be applying for. And I included the link for the grant seeker just for folks to have it. Now, for for-profit, meaning LLCs, sole proprietorships, and different incorporations, I did want to include some Maryland/Baltimore specific resources because actually I myself have a business that is incorporated within Baltimore, within Maryland. It's With Purpose Agency, LLC. And these are personal resources that I myself saw that I've benefited immensely from in my journey. And the first one is actually a mentoring, I would say mentoring program, but it's really, it's pretty much a mentoring program. So this is a free service that matches you with a mentor, usually someone who has had a business for a while, usually 20 plus years, 10, 20 plus years, or has been retired in somewhat. And they give you a free template for creating a business plan, free guidelines for how to incorporate your business if you haven't done before. And he's actively available. I have to admit, I haven't emailed my mentor back in a while because there's some things in my business that I just haven't been working on, but he's still readily available even if I know I won't be able to get to him for maybe another 6 months. In addition to that, I wanted to provide the resource of Innovation Works Baltimore. Innovation Works is ran by a really incredible man by the name of Jay. And they really work to cultivate and help social entrepreneurs of color, to not only develop and launch their plan, but also have a sustainable business for hopefully time to come. And so they offer not only a curriculum, mentor support, but direct capital through their impact fund. And again, I mentioned at the beginning that an impact fund, again, is typically meant to get a social return on top of a financial return in their investment. So they have one called Ignite Capital. And how it works is that they put you through a pipeline that will then eventually lead to access to capital. So I really would encourage folks to check that out. And as well as the Small Business Administration, that is a federal program that helps small businesses around the country with, you know, getting grants information, additional mentoring and loan information. They have a really good resource as well in learning about impact investment of what I just talked about. And again, this is very great, not only for businesses, but even for nonprofits. There are ways that these private foundations have impact investing and they can combine it with grants sometimes in what's called integrated capital. That's a whole can of worms. I'm really just trying to provide the resources so folks understand. And I know this is a lot at once, but it's very good to be equipped with all this information. I'm happy and willing to walk through and talk through some more of these concepts for folks. And just as another offering, I actually wanted to offer 2 free hours of fundraising advice to folks on this call. So again, I do a lot of just, I guess, pro bono work or advice work where when folks can just tip me up and we can have a very informal meeting, a phone call, Zoom, the like, and we can just talk about things. You can come to me with questions. You can come to me, you know, with a maybe specific plan that you'd like me to review. You can come to me with, you know, a request to make a plan, and, you know, we'll get it done. And, you know, if afterwards things do align, I can always point you towards other services and other folks that can help you out if I can. So I really wanted to just share my information as well. Thank you again for inviting me in. I know that this was just a whole bunch of information at once. I honestly could really talk about this for 3 hours, 3, 4, 5 hours. But again, I really encourage folks to write my email down, get my number, let's collect on LinkedIn. I'm very happy to just meet and talk through things and the ideas and the initiatives you have. Or if you even want some, you know, write in real time, I also offer that. But yes, I will now pause for any questions. And yeah, thank you.
Oscar, so do we get the 2-hour consultation through the WhatsApp or?
Oh, you can just email me.
Okay.
Most likely, what I'll do is in sharing this slide deck with Jasmine, I'm also going to share my Calendly link so we can schedule a call.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you. I'll go ahead, Sammy.
Sorry. So for the last link, you had for-profit, you had all the links for for-profit, but they were mainly for Baltimore. I'm assuming based businesses. I'm from Baltimore, but I live in Atlanta now, and my company is based out of Atlanta. Will those resources, will I still be able to tap in with those resources?
So with the first one, the SCORE mentoring, I'm not completely sure. I know they have a Greater Baltimore branch, but I do believe that they are national, but I could double check that for you. Innovation Works for Baltimore specific, I would also have to check, because although Jay does talk with folks, I don't believe you have to be based in Baltimore because they do help folks along the East Coast. But again, I would have to double check that. But the last link that is for national folks. But I would say in Atlanta, there are a lot of organizations like Innovation Works that do these kinds of curriculum and programs for entrepreneurs that you can definitely tap into. And I'd be more than happy to like gather a list for you. Yeah. Yeah, just definitely just shoot me an email and I'll be able to do that.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Oscar, I've got lots of questions, so I'd rather use the 2-hour time limit to ask those questions because I don't think I can get, you know, the complete answers that I want right now, but I will be reaching out to you. Thank you.
Sure. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, I never really gave you an overview of kind of how I got into fundraising. It just very quickly, if I have like 5 minutes, I would just love to tell folks. So I actually didn't start fundraising until actually 2 years ago. Before that, I was in academia. I thought I was going to be, you know, a philosopher. I was doing philosophy in it. But then the pandemic hit and I thought to myself, I cannot be reading and writing and thinking that this is going to, you know, change the world. So I actually connected with a local organization called Organizing Black in Baltimore, and they were hiring a development fellow, which was someone who knew little to nothing about fundraising, but who wanted to be brought up in the organization's mission and to eventually be their sole development associate, which is essentially their fundraiser. And so I did that for 3 months, and I was hired as the development associate. Didn't realize at the time that I would be the only one managing their development department. For context, they had a budget of about $1.3 million and about 10 grants. One of them was a state grant, and I had to manage all of that, which was no easy feat, but it definitely taught me all the ins and outs of how a grant works and how an organization can manage a grant. And also a lot about financial management, because I had to learn I work had to work a lot with accounting and folks there to get the P&Ls and the statements and make sure the audit financials were done. And then actually after that, after a year at that job, I moved on to a national organization called Common Future. And they are essentially a national resource and development lab, meaning they find social entrepreneurs or folks who have businesses and are committed towards changing the economy and finding capital for them, offering accelerators for folks to develop their business even more. Really, they're essentially an intermediary organization, the ones that I was talking about earlier, who they get the money and then they give out the money. The Comm Future, they had a network of about 400 folks nationally all over the country, and we worked with them. I was with them until recently. Actually, just recently left my job and recently left Baltimore, sadly. I'm back in upstate New York with my family, but I still work with folks nationally. I'm still doing my business. I can't even really say part-time because when you have a business, it's full-time all the time. But I'm still working on that. I myself am still in the startup phase of my business, which is why most of the resources I offer are very more ones that I've utilized. But again, yeah, I'm really excited to work and grow with folks. I very put a lot of attention on Black and Latinx communities because I think that we're the ones that really need most of the infrastructure for to get most of these grants. And I also believe that, technically this is our money. The wealth of foundations is built off of the history of slavery in this country and of colonization. And it's important to have a mindset shift of you're not asking for someone else's money. You're asking for money that's rightfully yours that then you can put towards a solution. Again, I'll get off my soapbox. But yeah, that's who I am. And I really wanted to share that with folks.
Money that's rightfully ours.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Oscar. Hi, everybody. Again, I am happy to be here. I'm fresh off vacation. Yesterday was my birthday. So,
Happy birthday.
happy
Happy
birthday.
B-Day.
I'm the big 35 now, so I feel like a grown up. Feel like now I'm really a grown up. Thanks for coming, everybody. Oscar, thanks for your wealth of information, being willing to share with everyone.
This is Mitch, not production.